morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. One more time, we're going to try to separate truth from propaganda. Today's topic is a big one, is a common one. We're going to talk about Arizona education. We're going to talk about education, but we're going to kind of lean it toward Arizona education. And no, this isn't the beginning of a joke on a late night talk show. Arizona education is Arizona is the butt of many jokes, deservedly so. So many of us are at a loss when it comes to Arizona education. We throw up our hands and we say, and we start stammering and studying. They attack higher ed. They're attacking the colleges. They attack K-12. They attack early childhood. And by they, I'm talking about the Arizona legislature. We're talking about the powers that be. We don't, this is a partisan show, by the way, and I have to say that every time. We're on this, and maybe it's Democrat versus Republicans, but the Republicans own the education system in Arizona. If there's anything wrong with the education system in Arizona, the Republicans own it. John Hoopenthal was education from when he was running for governor. He was education committee secretary for 17 years. Anything that is wrong with Arizona education, as far as I'm concerned, for the last 20 years, the Republicans own it, and including the abysmal funding. This is, there's so many simple answers here. We have guests in the studio this morning, so I don't have to fill up the 45 minutes with my rant, but obviously Arizona education is something important to me. But I do want to talk to our guests. We have Jim Ledbetter, president of the Mingus Union School Board, governing school board, and local attorney and involved in education.
And all around good guy.
All around.
Good morning.
I couldn't hear that. That's absolutely correct. We also have Ann Shaw. We wanted to get in Arizona, we have a huge charter school. So we have even though she may be a little uncomfortable representing the charter system, I'm going to speak for her for just a second. Ann Shaw is here, and she has been the head of a charter school for a number of years. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
All right, let's talk about money first, Jim. What's up with Arizona? And now you're going to give us these made up figures that you come up with every once in a while, right?
Well, thanks. What's up is nothing. Everything's down in terms of educational funding. Arizona is now dead last, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, with respect to per pupil funding for public education. Dead last. And in terms of the 49th state, we're not even close. So there's a funding gap between us and the next state. We're down to basically $3,500 per pupil for spending during my time on the Mingus Board. And I'm the former chair. If Ms. Zeenan is listening this morning, I apologize to Ms. Zeenan.
Okay.
She is now the
Congratulations,
chair.
Brandon.
And thank you.
Congratulations to you, too, for getting her to
But it's been wild. And that per pupil funding is a different category than other things that have driven us to that 50th position. For example, for a number of years, there's been no funding whatsoever, zero funding of soft capital items. What's soft capital? I mean,
textbooks.
It can be textbooks in part, sure. It's chalkboards, it's dry erase boards, it's pupils' desks. Those type of things are gone. There's no funding for that whatsoever in the Arizona budget. That's been taken off the table, literally meaning the tables are gone. And on top of that, the fascinating thing about this funding as well, this year, almost all capital funding is gone. That's air conditioning, HVAC, plumbing, build your building, refurbish your building, change out carpeting that gets worn and torn.
So when we read headlines about Doug Ducey, the governor, and the legislature cutting education, this is the other side of that. These are the practical side of the cuts, the most recent cuts to education are exactly what you're talking about.
Correct. And with respect to the governor, and I may not be as partisan as other people around the table,
okay,
but with respect to the governor on this particular issue, he's got it wrong. He's going out with some wonderful taglines about increasing classroom funding and getting more money in the classroom. But the way that they're doing that is an accounting gimmick. They're reducing the amount of funding, but directing schools and local taxpayers as to how that funding is to be spent in the schools. They want to no longer fund people in the cafeteria, for example, bus drivers, non-classroom items, so that they can say the percentage of classroom funding has gone up. Sure, the percentage will go up because they're directing where the money can be spent. And the irony about it, Mingus is not a wealthy school district,
right,
but all of the funding into Mingus these days is coming from local taxpayers. And so for the governor's office to direct how to spend local taxpayer dollars in order to be able to politically say he's increased funding in the classroom is something that's wrong. And, yeah, and with all due respect to the state, they got to increase the funding, period.
So
we can't be dead last.
Let's clear that up, that there is no state support of K-12 education.
There is no state support of 9-12 education within the Mingus School District. All of the revenues being spent are revenues generated off local property taxes.
There's almost no state support of community colleges. We did Yavapai College on last week's show. And there's something like 1%, less than
1%. 2%.
2% of the budget.
For Maricopa and other counties, it's 0%. I want to address the issue of the classroom spending. I think there's a, from my perspective, a mistaken belief amongst conservatives and as voiced by Ducey that there is too much administration and too high of administrative cost, hence the focus on you know, all the statements about classroom spending. Do you want to address that? Are we over, you know, administrated?
It's a great question. I've heard it often, and as the folks around the table know, we have the opportunity to represent a number of school districts as well through the law firm. So I see it statewide. And in terms of the funding for what is classroom funding, bear in mind, money spent in the classroom doesn't include janitorial service, for example. That's in that administrative column. Bus drivers in the administrative column. People who work in the cafeteria in the administrative column. Then it also includes the principal, a vice principal, a superintendent, those type of folks. And to suggest that certainly at Mingus and the vast number of districts across the state have too many dollars in administration is just wrong, because where those cuts are being born is lack of classroom cleanup, lack of qualified bus drivers, those type of things. Those are administrative expenses.
Cafeteria.
Gary LeMaster, by the way, co-host who I forgot to introduce.
The cafeteria in this area in particular, in the state of Arizona as a whole, is critical given the low cost meals and the free meals that are given to students who can't afford the food at home. You know,
agreed. And there's such a connection between kids getting proper nutrition and then their academic performance that is real important. In fact, this whole summer long, you're onto something that's important in this community. All summer long, Mingus High School is serving lunches, free lunches, to students who are in need and require that. So supporting families throughout the summertime, and that's a federally funded program, no dollars from the state, but the feds fund that program based upon need.
Yeah, it's an important program at the elementary level too.
Absolutely,
I know a lot of people that use it and need it. So, another juicy thing I want to talk about is this contrived. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Jim Ledbetter and Ann Shaw are both politically aware individuals, and so we elect a governor that said so many things about education and didn't deliver, didn't deliver any funding, but they rushed the budget through because they knew that the revenue figures were going to be higher, so they made sure that they completed their education budget at this incredibly low level, cutting $17 million from higher ed and doing what they did to 9-12 and K-12.
The revenue estimates are always, you know, chronically low.
But now he's coming in like the white knight because the revenue...
It'll make him look good because right. suddenly the actual revenue will be higher than the estimates.
So this is real recent stuff. Have you guys, do you see any benefit from the talk? I believe it's only been talk on something like $200 million back into...
Well, that won't be... That's going to go out to the voters. The governor's office is not doing that, but instead putting it off to the voters.
I see.
What we really need is permanent tax funding to fund education, because being 50th is nothing the state should be proud about. It deters business. As we've all heard, the CEO of Intel says that if he would have known what the Arizona legislature would do to the budget and the Arizona governor's office would have done, he would have never based Intel in Phoenix or Chandler. That would have never occurred. And there are other businesses who are doing that. In my office, I've seen on a small level, of course, but some businesses who have considered good, employable, great jobs coming into the community, who look at Arizona funding as a whole right. and are deterred from bringing their business here because they don't want to do that to their employees' children. And it's not, again, we're losing business for this. We don't attract great teachers because any young, gifted teacher coming out should look at other states. Right. Their opportunities to make a livable income are better in those other jurisdictions. So in terms of competing on a world stage, that's where we're in trouble. And these type of expenses where they really impact us at Mingus, for example, we're really pushing hard for technology. We're really pushing hard to have every student at a computer all day long through classroom instruction. That's where the world's going. And if we're not going to fund and put that type of technology at kids' fingertips, we're selling them short on the world stage, because that's where we compete now. It's a world stage, and we want these kids to have the very best. And the truth is, the legislature says we want the very best, but we'll pay the very, very least, achieve it anyway.
And this can't be done. You can't spend $3,500 per student. And we're talking about the next closest state is $10,000.
It's the average.
The average is $10,000.
The national average of all the states is $10,700, according to the Census Bureau.
Speaking, what an Arizona school could do with $10,000 per student, it would be off the charts.
It's almost three times, you know, just to get to the national average, we'd have to almost triple. You know, at least, you know, more than double our per pupils.
I'm going to try
spending.
To change my tone here, at least to calm it down a little bit, at least to get it less rantish. But we're talking.
We should all be angry.
We should be angry. And we're talking. Go ahead.
Your point about Governor Ducey is well taken, because in his former position, he led the charge against making permanent the 1 cent sales tax that was funding education, firefighters, police forces, those type of things. He was the lead against it. And so we know where he stands despite anything in terms of political rhetoric. He wants to curb taxes down. But in doing so, in being able to say, I've cut taxes, I've not allowed taxes to go forward, we have this huge, huge moniker over the state showing that we're the worst in terms of public education
funding.
Doesn't
this fly in the face of what every poll I've seen, both conservative, liberal, and for the last 5 years at least, to increase Arizona public spending?
It flies in the face of the Constitution, the Arizona State Constitution, which mandates that education be as free as possible.
And if the Constitution wasn't enough, so we have a governor and a legislature that are ignoring the will of the people. They're ignoring the Constitution, and they're ignoring that we had a vote. We said, just in case the Constitution isn't enough, they voted to increase, via the ballot box, public education funding.
It would be my strong preference that they follow the voters' initiative, that they fund with inflationary numbers what has been passed by the voters, and they stop spending it on lawyers. The millions of dollars that have been spent on lawyers to defend their position against votes that have occurred could be used in the classroom to increase classroom spending. That's where it would be better spent.
Well, those lawyer kids are getting a really good education somewhere, but it's not in Arizona, I'm going to guess. Or if it is, it's at a private school. All right, listen, we're going to talk more a lot about... I mean, it's just, you know, this... I'm going to use the term atrocity. This level of atrocity toward public education, this level of ideological attack is so unbelievable. I mean, it's beyond the pale. It's beyond the, you know, that I'm stuttering in my incomprehension why a legislative body and a governor would do this for political purposes.
What's stunning to me is I'm on a committee for education, and there are two members of the committee that have talked publicly during the meetings about the lack of funding for education in Arizona, both the you know, K-12 level and higher education. Yet when the meeting's over, they'll turn around and in both cases have passed around petitions for Republican candidates to get them elected, even though it's the Republicans as a whole that have cut the spending and for education in the state. Yeah. There's this disconnect between Republican voters, their wishes for, you know, their at least avowed wishes for education funding,
yeah,
and then the way they vote, they turn right around and just go look for the R and vote for the R.
They don't see the connection. They don't see the connection between their vote and the abysmal. As far as I'm concerned, the killing, the
and
murder.
As you said at the beginning, they own this. That, you know, they've been in charge for as long as I've been in the state, yeah, and they own this lack of spending. They own our educational crisis.
All right, suppose we forget for a minute Jim Ledbetter's side of this. He's got this whole fairly traditional public education thing going on. We have this funding flow or lack of funding flow. Arizona started this whole charter school thing years and years ago, and I know Ann is going to. We want Ann. Good morning, and how do you weigh in on this? How do you where are you as a charter school administrator, or at least a maybe former charter school administrator? What should we do to the legislature? Suppose it wasn't us guys, it was Ducey in the legislature sitting around this table. What do you want to tell them?
Essentially, I suppose that all of our students, whether they be charter students or larger public school district students, deserve a quality education. And that can't be done for free. The expectation that all of us simply do this out of the goodness of our hearts is completely unrealistic. I have run into that attitude a number of times, that we should teach kids because we love them. Well, we do. In point of fact, that's exactly why we do this. We care about not only our own personal children, but the community's children, the state's children. And so this is everyone's job. Everyone has to throw in a few more bucks and pay the taxes and do what we've got to do to support education in its entirety. It's terrifying to think of the consequences of simply letting education go, and I feel like the legislature is pulling the rug out from under it as rapidly as it can. And I can't understand it. I can't grasp it because yeah, it's so completely, to me, un-American. It's so antithetical to what I understand Americans to be about. Yeah. That this is the foundation of who we are, that we must support education above everything else, really. And we're not going to do that now? I'm confused.
Well, I am going to ask you the tough question. You know, and it seems like, I mean, this is, actually, I know the answer. This is a moot point at this point. In 2015, you know, when the charter schools were seen as supposed to be experimental pods that free from some of the regulations that governed more tradition-bound education, like Mangus, like Sedona, Red Rock, maybe we could be at any, Arizona could be an educational innovator, especially as far as our legislature was concerned, financially. Maybe education wouldn't have to cost. And I'm not sure it's worked out that way. So, first of all, are charter schools a drain on the public education system?
No, they aren't. They were, even in the beginning, largely supported by more conservative members of the legislature as a money-saving device. And they do, in fact, save money. A number of regulations were imposed on charter schools that do not exist in the larger schools. And rather, our ability to remain innovative became limited by the amount of regulation that was dumped on top of the charter schools out of the fear that we were just, you know, over there having a good time and, you know, throwing those taxpayer dollars around like crazy and not really providing an adequate education. As far as I understand it, most that was not the case in most charter schools. Regulation, of course, is necessary, but charter schools seem to be overregulated. And our primary problem financially has been the attempt to continually pay us in real time. So just about the time we get school going, if we lose students at all, then we get dinged in December right before Christmas. And, you know, between the 40th and 100th day, we can be losing income as long as we are accurately reporting our numbers, which we're required by law to do. So our funding is fluctuating throughout the year. It's hard to build a solid budget that way.
Well, it's hard to run anything that way when you don't know how much money you're going to have tomorrow.
Right.
So now, you're just to be clear, you're governed by a separate body than what the rest other schools are governed by.
Well,
the Charter School Board?
We were, for most of our existence, sponsored by the State Board of Education.
I see.
So pretty clearly connected to the rest of the schools in the state. Our sponsoring entity was the State Board of Education. Recently, because the State Board of Education several years ago declined to continue to sponsor charter schools, our school moved over to the charter board, the Arizona State Board for Charter Schools, just last year, a little more than a year ago.
So that's just rules and regulations, has nothing to do with funding.
Well, there are variances in funding,
okay,
as I understand it, from the districts to the charters.
Right.
But I haven't been deeply involved in those calculations, so
right.
I'm not sure what it is. I just know that we're all poor at this point.
Right.
I know that everyone is suffering. I was not surprised that charters started to suffer at a greater level quicker, partly because of the way that we're funded. But I realized pretty soon after that the districts were also suffering, and our colleges and universities are impaired as well. So we're kind of all in the same boat together at this point.
So is there a coming headline that there's going to be charter schools going out of business, so to speak?
I was sort of surprised to find that the charter board and even the Arizona Charter School Association were using that as a positive talking point, is that, hey, we've identified these failing schools, whatever those are, you know, failing, let me put that in quotation marks.
Sure.
Failing schools, and they're going out of business. And so that to them was a feather in their cap that they were doing much more wonderful job of monitoring schools and identifying the ones, you know, if you want to be seen as policing, then they were doing a much better job of that. The more schools they shut down, the better job of policing they're doing.
Let me ask both of you, and these schools are being picked up by chain schools? I mean, there's got to be some money in it if some of these Primavera and some of these other schools that are chain charter schools are interested in Arizona's charter schools and running them as a group. So is this happening? First of all, am I misinformed? Are these chains picking up some of these schools?
It might be possible that in some cases they are. My school, there is someone who has expressed an interest in doing that with my school.
Uh-huh.
The point that I would make is that the larger corporate groups of schools are well supported by the charter board. But little schools like mine, in the recent history of my school, I've had three tiny little schools. We're very small.
Yeah.
All three of us together may have had under 100 kids.
Sure.
And we're all in disparate and distant communities. So,
some of us think that's good.
So, yeah, it was a good thing for the communities in which we resided. But I lost one of the schools is gone now. I still have a charter for another one.
Uh-huh.
The charter board this last summer declined to renew the charter for the Cottonwood site.
Right.
So that's the situation that
right.
I'm in right
sure.
now. And that closure was a positive thing to them.
I see.
To me, it's a community disaster, but to them, it sounded like a good idea.
I want to move on to the dysfunctional Department of Education in Arizona. Either of you. So ordinarily, you know, it's not just direct governor, legislator, you know, impact on schools. We have this Department of Education. At the state level, we have a superintendent of public instruction. Certainly there's some relief there, isn't there?
No. It's been a real surprise in terms of where things currently stand in that department. Let me just tell you a practical effect of what's going on.
Love to hear it.
Investigators and people who do background checking on teachers and the teachers' credentials are on one side of that fence. And they're not able to have access currently to all of the records necessary to make a decision about letting a new teacher come on board, for example. So we're having a difficult time filling some slots for key quality teachers, like English as an example, because we have teachers who are awaiting their certification, who are going through the board for approval. The board can't get the investigatory material through their investigators to get the material because that's in a different office now because, as you know, some are now housed in the governor's office or the executive branch building. Others are housed over at the Department of Education. There's been squabbles over computer access and records. But how's that impacting people, boots on the ground? We can't issue contracts to teachers. It's now the summer, and some of those teachers are caught in that gap where we're going to have open spots that we're waiting to fill, but we have to have approval or confirmation that the teacher can teach before a teacher can get a contract. So districts across the board are having this funding crisis compounded with a leadership crisis. And bottom line is, this is an Arizona issue. Statewide, we've got to recognize enough's enough. We can't be dead last. We can't tell our students that we value them in such a manner that we're going to fund them dead last. We can't tell the world that we're funding dead last. We can't.
Right.
It's time, because we have the opportunity here in this state to, you know, pull up our bootstraps, put a permanent funding bar in place as opposed to property tax variations, sales tax variations to fund school districts. That's just crazy to fund it on what your sales tax is going to be. Schools deserve, students deserve, a steady source of reliable income so that decisions that are long-term in these students' lives, so that those decisions can be made.
Let me get partisan for a moment, because this really, truly is a partisan issue. This is, as I mentioned, the Republicans own the education system in Arizona.
Yeah, but be clear about that. This would not be happening with a Democratic administration.
Absolutely
okay.
not.
We got that done.
Talking about the dysfunction, Diane Douglas was the Republican candidate for superintendent of public instruction. She had no background in education whatsoever, other than being on some local school board for a short period of time. She was a one-issue candidate who was against Common Core, that big government evil that was actually created by the governors of a variety of states, including Republican governors.
One of the many things I'll never understand.
So she takes office, narrowly, you know, defeats a Democratic candidate who had a lifelong background in education. And now she's at odds with, she's misinterpreted, according to my reading of the Constitution, misinterpreted her authority. So the first thing she did when she got in office was to fire the chair of the state school board and the top assistant. Ducey overturned it. And so now we're in this battle of wills between that's going to court, a battle of wills between Douglas and Ducey and the state school board. And as Jim pointed out, it's the students who lose.
Well, it's a public safety issue now, which is beyond unconscionable. So because we can't check background checks. Now, the same thing's happening at the elementary level, I assume. It's not just 912. I know you represent 912, and I keep forgetting that. And so does Ann. So this is scary. This is frightening.
But, you know, I want to put in a plug. There are Republican groups who are coming forward now to say funding is abysmal. We've got to fix these things.
That's true.
The Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce has just come out swinging on this.
I'll believe it when they vote.
I understand your point, but let's start the dialogue and get away from, because at the end of the day, no matter where we are on what side of the aisle, we owe this to students because students, you know, it sounds cliche-ish. They are our future, and it's time that we put down partisan issues. I agree with you.
I would point out that our three legislators from District 6 ran as education candidates every time they've been elected, and then they turn around and vote against education at every opportunity.
Every time.
Now, the winning political argument is no more taxes. That's the winning political argument. The losers on that, at least for purposes of today's dialogue, the losers on that are kids.
Right.
They simply are our kids. And the truth is business is now losing, and people are starting to become aware of that because Arizona is no longer the attractive place to bring your corporation than it once was. And those are the things we got to bring back, and we got to figure out how to fund it. And one of the things could be, you know, more revenue from different sources that come into the state. But whether it be lottery funds or other things like that, it's important for us to drill down and find out a permanent revenue source for school districts beyond the small percentage that comes out of the land trust fund, which is what Ducey is trying to put back to the voters.
Right.
And if that did pass, the first time that benefit would hit school districts is not until 2016.
Right.
So it would have to pass, and then that funding would come, but we're still more than a year out. We're still going to be 50th. And if that comes in and passes, the amount that would go up per student is projected about $200, give or take.
Right.
We'll still be last.
Let's see, by my numbers, $6,900 below the national average per student.
So, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear that the state fund that Ducey is trying to get a larger piece of for education is going, you can say, well, good, I don't have to worry about education anymore because they're going to save it with the state fund. It's $200 per student, and when you're thousands of dollars out of round with the rest of the country, the state fund is not going to save it. It's too little, too late. It's too little, and we need it now. The funding, the kids, the people are going to school now. So they need some sort of interim funding bill, at least until they get a little more money from the state fund. Ann?
I wanted to mention that I feel a little dinosauric at this point, but it seems to me that it was only a couple of years ago, you know, pre-election, that it appeared to me that, and I may be wrong about this, but it appeared to me that what the funding plan was to get the race to the top funds from the federal government. And that's why we were rapidly jumping through all of these hoops, changing the standards, going to Common Core, instituting online testing. Everything that we were doing and, you know, the legislature mandated, semi-annual evaluations for teachers. All of these things came into place rapidly, and we were being pushed and pushed so that we could get those race to the top funds. And it appeared to me that, that what the state did was kind of ratchet down the funding, thinking that these race to the top funds were going to come into play. And now that's completely off the table. We elect someone whose sole purpose is to get rid of Common Core to our Department of Education, to head our Department of Education, which is strange to me. And at this point, we sit in a limbo in which not only do we not have funding, but we don't have any clear direction regarding standards and testing and everything else.
So we're talking this morning about Arizona education and the abysmal funding and the abysmal leadership. So nothing seems to be working. The Department of Ed is dysfunctional. We got Gary Lemaster, my co-host. We have Ann Shaw from the Charter School, New Visions Charter School, and we have the estimable Jim Ledbetter from Mingus Union. And we're going to, and we all have this sense of outrage in our voices, and it's hard not to. We're in our fourth year on Democratic Perspective here, and we've had conversations about Arizona education at least two or three times a year, because it is a news topic, and it certainly is a partisan topic.
And it only seems to get worse.
And when I can't think it's going to, like I said, for over 3 years, it doesn't seem like it can get any worse than it does. Every time.
I want to ask about the, there's a lawsuit going on that we haven't talked about that could have a significant impact. And it seems that our state government doesn't talk about it. They're appealing the ruling. And as I understand it, ruling of the court was that Arizona failed to adequately fund education to the tune of $317 million per year for K through 12, and that the total judgment was $2.9 billion with a B dollars that would have to be retroactively, if the state loses the appeal.
Right.
Would have to be retroactively paid towards, the K through 12. It seems to me that I don't know where that lawsuit stands, but they're just delaying the inevitable. Meanwhile, the amount continues to rise.
Jim, where's the lawsuit?
It is there. The challenges to the Court of Appeals decision, the Arizona Court of Appeals decision, and the challenges now to the Arizona Supreme Court for ruling on that. And they, of course, lost at the county level, if you will. They've lost at the state level. And, for me, and I know this is a hot button, but this is the lawsuit over SB 1070 all over again. The voters have voted to fund education. The legislature refuses to follow the direction of the voters. The school districts have to band together, bring a lawsuit to say, hey, we're entitled to these funds because the voters voted for it, and the legislature doubles down, spends millions in defense of itself to not fund. And I'm frankly a law and order person. And yes. At the end of the day, if you're told by a court that you owe something, and if you're told by the people who elected you that you owe something, you pay it. You figure out how to pay it. And the argument that there's not enough money out there to pay it is true. There's not enough money in the Arizona legislative budget right now unless big adjustments are made to how things are spent, or somebody wakes up and says, we've got to put a permanent tax structure in place, and it's not about winning the next election so you can have that tagline of no more new taxes. It started all with read my lips, and then there was, hell to pay when folks realized that funding is necessary to educate kids. We want our kids to be able to compete not with kids in Connecticut. We want our kids to compete with kids in Shanghai. And if we don't do it, we're going to be losing decades down the road.
There's a couple of interesting comparisons with other states that I think, it was worth mentioning. Nevada, another staunchly Republican state, the governor and the legislature just passed, I think it's $1 billion tax increase to cover education. And to, you know, so they were running kind of neck and neck with Arizona in terms of underfunding education. Now they've corrected that.
Well, and I think just the opposite. In spite of what Jim Ledbetter just said, that the winning formula for politicians, for leaders these days, is no taxes, no taxes.
Well, if anybody
politician that supports an education tax, I want to ask this too: can lottery money ride to the rescue here? Well, most states use their lottery money for education. We use it for roads and the Heritage Foundation. Is there enough lottery money to help? And I think that's my biggest fear, that there isn't. That the reason nobody's gone after the lottery money is we just don't have the size of a lottery that they have in Illinois.
We wouldn't have roads.
Well, let the roads, you know, let's put the kids before the roads for now. Is there enough lottery money? Would that help at all?
When you're at bare bones, every little bit helps.
Okay.
But that said, you're correct. There's not enough money out there based upon the spending priorities or all the lottery funds as a whole to bridge this gap to take us out of being 50th. When you are literally and have been for years robbing students, not being able to let them buy textbooks. I mean, the next thing on the horizon, local districts will be like many districts across the state, and folks have fought hard in this community to keep the arts, to keep theater, and to keep band and choir and, stellar art programs. That's why Mingus has just received the Arizona Education Foundation's A-plus award because of comprehensive education.
Right.
But those things are at risk. Yeah. What else is at risk? In order to fund these things, what's at risk is students are going to have to pay to play sports.
Pay to play.
That's tragic.
They did away with it in Florida. I think Arizona is next. Those are music programs. I've been saying this for a while now. Arizona is not a good place to be a kid.
I was just going to say it's one of the big things for me for education in high school and college was all of the things surrounding your key courses. You know, the socialization skills that you learn while, you know, participating in extracurriculars and learning music and learning art and creative writing and things of that sort, have helped me more than my key courses throughout my career. And I just think it's very short-sighted to cut those kinds
of
things.
You mean music and art was more important in the third week of the Civil War that you studied
The important thing is to teach kids how to learn.
Yes.
And, you know, the Mingus kids, let me put a shout-out for them.
Yes.
They just competed at the statewide level. It's not by division. It's not by your school size. They went down to what are called the Jimmy Awards, which are the Tony Awards competition for theater arts programs. I believe there are 13 awards total available. Mingus took more than half of them on the statewide level. Those kids are doing a great job.
James Ball, drama students, good job. I do want to do a shout out to Arizona teachers. Part of the problem is Arizona teachers have been laboring so hard in the face of all of these budget cuts, all of these low funding, and yet we still remain somewhere in the middle achievement-wise.
And to plug that, in order for the theater program to exist, what has happened at Mingus? Teachers no longer have health care benefits for their family. Ah. That's how you fund it.
And that's this is so wrong. I can't even. So this is your reward for doing a good job, taking health care away from your family.
A word from our sponsor real quick. We're sponsored
please.
By Democrats of the Red Rocks, Democrats of the Verde Valley. Democrats of Red Rocks has a breakfast coming up on Thursday.
Yes.
That will be at Old Sedona Grill.
Right. And the movies on Wednesdays at the Sedona Library are free, and they're awesome, very interesting. You can find this and all our podcasts on vvid.org, vvid.org. Education funding. We have a lot of talk about the college. Last week's show on the college. We will do another show on the college, and we will do other future shows on Arizona water and the lack thereof.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.